You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of June 25th, 2014, and this week George and I participate in the most prestigious international competition in the world, the Mushroom Cup.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alborg.
My name is Scott Juster.
And we are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to conversations about video games. You know, we should say, it's been a while. If you're a first-time listener, welcome.
Thank you.
200 and something episodes that you can listen to.
You like more of this? Well, we got the deal for you.
Boy, howdy. Every week on the show, we like to pick a topic or a theme, something we find from the internet, some news story, whatever, and go a little bit more in-depth than maybe your usual podcast. We spend about 30 minutes having a little chat. Today we're actually talking about a video game. And this is not the normal, oh, here's some spoilers, we don't want to ruin it for you, video game. We are talking about Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Have we ever talked about a Mario game, period, on the show?
I mean,
We've done Mario retrospectives.
Yeah, we've done Wii U roundups where I talked a lot about, like, Mario 3D World.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever did a specific Mario game.
So yeah. What is it about Mario Kart that has, like, the prestige that it earns its very own show?
I think it's probably because I'm usually the one that covers the Nintendo side of the house, and Mario Kart is not one of those games that you need to play for 20 hours in order to really, like, talk intelligently about.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's also clearly one of the most nostalgic series ever, right? Yeah. I mean, in terms of people's Nintendo addiction, this is what convinces people to buy a Wii U. It really is.
I am part of the, like, Nintendo Fun Club, where you buy, like, Nintendo shit, and you redeem the codes for, like, you know, giveaways or whatever.
Yeah.
And in order to get those redeemable coins, you have to fill out surveys, basically like marketing research surveys. Mm-hmm.
That's devilishly intelligent.
I mean, Nintendo's been doing that forever. I mean, that's how Nintendo Power started. Yeah. It was basically a marketing tool. Anyway, one of the questions was, why did you buy this game?
And you wrote like a 16-page treatise?
No, I wrote one sentence. I said, I didn't buy a Wii U not to buy Mario Kart.
Yeah, that's
and
a
then submitted
point.
It. Yeah. Like, it's like, come on, guys.
Like, when I bought this, I knew it was coming, and I would buy it.
Right. It's like, why would I buy a Wii U and not buy this game? So anyway, that's how I bought this game.
Yeah. I'm real close. The only reason I haven't bought a Wii U specifically for Mario Kart 8 is because I'm waiting for the Smash Brothers bundle. That's
exactly.
It.
And guess what? If you want to redeem your sweet points for like a Pikmin bag or whatever, like, they're going to ask you, why did you buy this? And you're going to be like, because it's Smash Brothers.
Because it's Smash Brothers. Yeah. Like, yeah. You
and
had
it's
me
a
at
Wii U.
Smash.
Yeah. Mario Kart the 8th.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't really seriously played a Mario Kart since Mario Kart Wii. I know people really like the 3DS version.
Mm-hmm.
Or the DS version.
Both,
actually. Both,
yeah. I guess.
Both of those are really highly regarded.
But those aren't games that age, you know? Like, those aren't games that we leave away from. Just like Smash Brothers, I have played Mario Kart on the N64 at like a bar like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, so the my unfamiliarity with Wii platforms right now is not does not mean that I'm not paying attention to Mario Kart games in particular.
Yeah.
And Mario games in general.
Yeah. Let's do a little test. What's your favorite Mario Kart?
Oh gosh. I mean, I don't know. Mario 64 Racing, that kart game?
What was the first Mario Kart you played?
It has to be that one.
Okay.
It's got to be that one, yeah.
So the giant...
Or actually, you know what? Maybe the GameCube was the first one I played.
Mm. Whoa, really? I find it highly dubious that you were able to survive
the
1990s without playing Mario Kart.
You know that I never had... I mean, once I had the NES, I never had a Nintendo system again, and I would just play it at friends' house.
Right.
You're probably right. I'm sure it was an N64.
The Giant Bomb Guy's theory is that whatever Mario Kart was your first is also your favorite. And that they're essentially interchangeable when you start, like, flattening out some of the differences. But it's like, oh, no, Double Dash is the best. No, screw you, 64 is like... It's like, okay.
I really like Double Dash.
All right, well, maybe that was the first one. Like, whatever you put the critical mass of hours into, that kind of becomes your favorite.
When did they first bring the blue sparks?
Mario Kart 64 had the... the drifting mechanic that built up. Like the three or the two to three tier drifting mechanic first happened in Mario Kart 64, but drifting was always a thing even on the Super Nintendo. It just it didn't give you that boost. Yeah.
But I feel like that defines play now. Like that's so fundamental. You know what separates the babies from the adults here, from baby Luigi to Luigi, is bringing those blue sparks.
And then Metal Luigi.
That's a whole nother matter.
Yeah. So where do we start with? With Mario Kart 8. How do you talk about a Mario Kart?
I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. I don't really know how to talk about a racing game anyway.
That's a good point.
I only know how to talk about like the feelings it creates, you know? And
Rage. Frustration.
I mean, all of those things are true. And pure joy. Like, I kind of wish that everyone... I mean, we swear a lot.
Yeah.
outside of the podcast. But if you could listen to like the hour or 2 hours that we just played Mario Kart...
Yeah.
And hear all of the things that we say.
Yeah.
I feel like you're just going to hear, like, pure joy there. Yeah. You're going to hear, like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
I think at one point we both said damn it at the exact same time for completely different reasons. Yeah. You know, you'd been tagged by a red shell. Mm-hmm. I'd fallen off the track.
Yeah.
Even when it's so frustrating and it's like, oh, I can't get this right, it's still fucking awesome.
Yeah. And again, you know, I spent a fair amount of time last night feverishly unlocking all the courses because I wanted us to be able to have all the courses today. So like I unwrap the thing and immediately start burning through all the tracks as fast as possible. But like the social dynamic with someone on the couch is again like classic Nintendo stuff. Yep. It's harder to, I feel like from a skill based perspective, Mario Kart has never been better because the online works better than it ever has.
Yeah, totally.
And so you can really see some pretty serious Mario Kart when you get on the internet.
I mean, we were playing some matches where the difference between the person in first and the person in last was like
maybe couple seconds.
2 to 3 seconds. Yeah, something crazy close. And it didn't feel like it was close artificially. Mm-hmm. Like, I came back from the very end, and you still have to work your ass off to get back to a reasonable position.
Yeah.
And I should say right now, I'm not great at Mario Kart by any means. There's dust on these old weathered hands.
Yeah.
But it feels like, you know, you actually earn your victories in a way that maybe some of the other ones, at least the way I'm remembering it, didn't always feel.
I feel like the Wii version kind of went pretty far in that rubber banding direction. Yeah. And maybe this is a slight correction back towards the first couple games. And I feel like that's always the kind of, you know, sine wave of Mario Karts, like, you know, being extremely item focused versus, you know, track focused. And I feel like this is kind of... maybe shoving itself back to the track focused a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think a good example is the bullet, right? Like, the bullet is always seen as the classic example of you getting first. Mm. We played quite a bit of Mario Kart, and I only saw it maybe once or twice.
Yeah, the incidence of the bullet are far lower.
The 8-item thing that you get at the end, I think, is a really clever way of using the rubber banding technique.
Yeah.
Because if you're playing with people who are relatively casual, just spamming it will get you up there.
Yep.
But if you're a person with skill and you happen to be last... you have to be really strategic about when you trigger the action button, because if you activate a flower and there's no one in front of you, that's just a complete waste of that extra item.
Mm-hmm.
You're better off, you know, waiting till the mushroom comes around, timing it right.
Yeah.
There's actually far more skill and risk involved in using the sort of go-to, you can get back into this thing than you'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great, because even though it's helping you, you know, rubber band back into the system when you're competing against high-level competitors... it still demands a level of attention and skill that is above what you would expect for the previous kart series.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. It's very, even, you know, we're pretty amateurish, but like even we were able to understand like, oh, okay, I need to hold on to this mushroom until turn 3 because that's where that shortcut is.
Yep.
And like, it's really tempting to like use it right away. But you know, the idea is that it's a more track focused game rather than kind of a item, you know, god mode focused game.
And I don't know if this is the first game that spends so much time aerially as well.
Yeah.
But that the gap between, you know, you're on your kart and you're racing and then you're in the air is relatively frequent.
Mm-hmm.
Or the times when the track splits. And so you find yourself holding onto items because you don't want to use them while you're in the midair because you'll miss an opportunity to tag someone.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, you know, if you're going to use your speed boost, maybe, you know, 3 people are going one way, you go the other way, so you can maximize that boost without being scared you're going to be knocked aside or something like that. So there's all sorts of different, like, item strategy around that I think is really cool. And it's not just new items. It's that the items are, their use is so tied to a really well-designed environment.
Yeah. I think the courses are pretty good too. At first, for me, they felt kind of linear, but mm-hmm. then you start to understand that, okay, well, this shortcut actually makes a very big difference, or some of the things that I thought were just holes that you would fall down into are actually parts of the track.
Yeah.
And I think that brings me to a point where that I wanted to make about, like, penalties. Mm-hmm. I feel like the penalties of falling off the track are much lower in this game.
Yeah.
Just from a straight-up mathematical perspective, like, I think it takes fewer seconds to get back into the game. But I think they're, like, pretty harsh in the game because everyone... I feel like the courses are really prone to, like, big shifts in momentum.
Yeah.
And so even that 1 second that you're out is huge.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And the loss of the coins, like, mm-hmm. I wasn't sure. I'm actually, to be honest, I'm still not sure how I feel about the coins and the mechanics.
Which I think is from the original Mario Kart. Like, I think coins made you go faster.
So I'm not sure exactly how it works, but I presume it just, does it increase your acceleration so you reach your max speed, or does it increase your max speed?
I believe it increases your max speed. One of my complaints of this game is that it's the systems and rules behind it are almost like Dota-esque in their like opacity, where it's like, okay, coins make you go faster, this increases speed. Well, what does that even mean?
How much faster are we talking here?
Right.
Like, you know, I gathered maybe 10 coins and I fall off the map, and not only do I lose momentum, I lose a couple of coins that others can then pick up. There's a huge sort of, that's a very punishing, like you said, a punishing moment, but it's very difficult to know how exactly it affects me, other than just knowing, well, shit, now I can't get back into the race.
Right. And the way that the coins are distributed on the level, it makes you, to pick up the coins, it makes you take the non-optimal route around a turn, but so you have to be really, you have to be willing to commit to getting these coins. I know I'm going to lose time on this turn, because I need to pick up the coins, but this will help me in the long run.
Yeah, and if you don't get that coin, and you decided to go that route anyway, or, you know, if you're competing for a coin, like, there are a few moments when I'm bumping up against somebody because we're just trying to position ourselves to get a coin.
Right.
Like, I don't think I've wanted coins that bad since, like, Sonic the Hedgehog. And I guess those are rings.
That's true. I mean, I think the way that the courses split, especially the newer courses that are designed specifically for this game, because, of course, you know, there's 20 some odd years of courses they can go back into to pull and throw back ones. Those, you know, they have juncture points where if you see a bunch of people going left, it probably makes sense to go right because that's where the coins are going to be.
Yeah.
Because people have already pillaged the left-hand side of it. Like, you're not going to get anything.
But also, it also depends on the context, right? Because there are also those moments when your wheels turn upside down, and if you bump someone, it gives you a speed boost.
Yep.
So that means if you have that effect on you and you're entering a crowded place, you might actually be able to jostle people enough to get a speed boost and plow you through that group.
Yeah, yeah. The speed boost thing is another, I think, a pretty clever way of challenging your assumptions of what Mario Kart is, because you're almost always, unless you're playing a really big character, you kind of don't want to ever touch people.
Yeah.
But then when you go into those zero-G modes, you do want to touch people because that gives you your boost.
Yep.
And so you're kind of jostling. It throws you back and forth. It's a nice way of going against the muscle memory that you've built up over 7 Mario games.
And it's true for the environment as well. Like, there's a lot of cool strategically placed, like, blue bumpers that you could tap into as you're going by. And, you know, if you ram at full speed, it's just going to stop you. You'll get a speed boost, but then suddenly you're going at a 90-degree angle, and it's not going to work out in your favor.
Yeah.
But if you just are gentle about it, and so, you know, so much of the map is going, all right, I got some room. Okay, now I got to think. Like, okay, I got to time this right.
Yeah.
And if anybody else is in your way, then that can throw you off. And, you know, I have to say, the speed boosts, the items, even the coins and the coin placement, the risk and reward aspects of this is just so well designed.
Yeah.
It's so cool
to
have to consider everything in what looks like, you know, sort of childish, like, oh, we're just having a fun time kind of game.
And also, it's, I mean, it's one, I think the Wii U has had many of these games so far. It's just kind of sad that there's no third-party support, but, like, like, when Nintendo brings its A game to bear, it's like, whoa, like, this is game design. Like, they spent a long time on this, and there's probably, like, many heated hours when they're talking about should the get back to the course take 0.6 seconds or 0.7, you know, like, there's something that is, you can tell the finely tuned balancing that goes into play, even if you're talking about a fundamentally unbalanced game like Mario Kart.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, yeah, I think calling it game design is perfect. Yeah. That's how it feels when you're aware of like all of the things that are happening at once. And when you're succeeding as well, like you really feel like a master of your environment.
Yeah.
And all that being said, though, it's also just really cool and fun, like map design.
Mm-hmm.
Like giant snakes coming out and like tubes that give you, you know, that give you a boost depending on which angle you're coming at them from. And, you know, they managed to tap into not only just great design, but it just looks visually not only impressive. I think it's one of the best looking games on the Wii U I've seen.
Yeah, we should talk about that in a minute. Yeah.
But the sort of joy of the map itself, especially the specific Wii U maps for this particular game, are awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it feels almost like a... it kind of feels like Disneyland. Like, things are manufactured to such a degree, like, there's almost a garishness of it, almost.
But it's like, not a simulacrum. Like, it's not uncomfortable in the way that Disney makes me uncomfortable, right? This is a world fully realized. It's outlandish and over-the-top Disneyland-style-esque.
Yeah, right.
But it doesn't have a seedy corruption underneath it. Or does it? I don't know. Maybe it does.
We haven't gotten to the mirror tracks yet, so
we'll what if Rosalina's real seat? Where's that star creature?
Yeah.
Where's Luma?
Yeah, where's Luma? That's powering her engines. But like the thing that's Disneyland-esque about it is the set pieces.
Yeah.
Like in that middle part in the Bowser's Castle where you enter this cavern and a fiery Bowser is like punching the course left and right.
And shifting it. Like you feel its effect after you even move out of that danger.
There's a sense of scope and a sense of this looks really dangerous, but I know it's not dangerous because I'm playing Mario Kart. Like that kind of gives me that roller coaster sense of things.
The airplane one is a great one too. Like those set pieces when you jump off a ramp or whatever and you're going right under an airplane, you're weaving through the airplane, you know? And not just that, but it creates moments that feel more dramatic because the way that the maps diverge and then come back together, I mean, you can leap from one set piece and suddenly someone who experienced a different set piece crashes into you.
Yeah. So I think that's a good segue to actually talk about the visuals of the game and also kind of the other accoutrements that go along with it. Because, I mean, Nintendo is actually making a pretty good effort as kind of, you know, janky and klutzy as it is to, like, have a pretty robust, like, out-of-game experience. Yeah. But in-game, I think you're right. Like, it looks amazing. Like, it kind of... the production value that they're like pouring into, when they finally decided to like join the rest of the world and go HD, you know, 10 years after everyone had already decided to do it. But like, it looks astounding. Like it kind of looks like the picture of Mario in your head, you know, like when you're, this is kind of what I thought it would look like when I was playing Mario 64.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they know it too. The way that they add all of the animation flourishes that are often unique for each character.
Yep.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And you know, they're taking advantage of just the technology that they have, right? Like, it's fully orchestrated. It's like the Mario Galaxy style sound. You know, it's weird because it's one of those games that like takes itself incredibly seriously for how goofy it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when you see the cup coming down after you win it, it's like crazy, like epic 80s guitar solos and like, you know, weird dramatic strings when you're playing in the game.
Like the president of a clown college.
Yeah, really. It's like so strange. Like there's so, it's so earnest in a way that is not winking at, hey, this is kind of a dopey kart racer.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to seriously orchestrate all of this music.
Yeah.
But the best thing about all that, the replay system.
The replay system is really good. I was genuinely surprised that all of that stuff was included in game.
Yeah.
Because it feels like something that's rare across the spectrum for any game.
Yeah.
I mean, now you don't really need it because Xbox One and PS4 have some video editing tools.
Yeah.
But to have it built within the game itself, I think is a really clever idea.
Yeah.
You don't have to leave the experience to start cutting and editing and checking it out.
Right.
And being able to watch the highlight as soon as you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were moments when we were like, whoa, I can't believe that just happened. And then we rewatch it in slow-mo.
Yeah.
And the drama of it is just heightened. It's also, I should say, you know, mad props to whoever is scripting the camera for those matches, because they do a really good job of capturing highlights from probably the best angles that you can capture those highlights from.
Right.
So, and, you know, that's completely on that side of the programming side, and they're fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's clever what they do, because once you start going through the replays, you can see where they're cheating, right? Yeah. It's like, you can't, there's no free camera.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they, you know, they only give you the shots that are available for you to have, and it's all algorithmically determined based on, did someone get hit by an item? Did someone do a pretty cool boost here?
Yeah. Did, like, someone get a death stare going?
But I mean, that, you know, I also think, like, A, it's probably a pretty hefty technical challenge to allow, like, a free camera like that, but two, it's this strange, they don't want to have the game look bad at any time.
Mm.
And if you were free to move the camera around, you could make the game look bad.
Yep.
Like, you could clip it through a wall, you could kind of see where the characters don't actually collide, but it's just futzing with it. Yeah. Like,
I mean, in that way, it's even more like Disneyland.
It really is. Yeah. I really feel like this is a very, like, it's a very produced experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the replays are great, but it's this idea that we want to showcase only the best parts of it. And then the balance of how to let people still feel ownership over that.
Yeah, it's funny because I think I could see some people being peeved by the fact that there's no free camera.
Yeah.
They can't upload the entire video. They can't.
You know, I was peeved by that.
I mean, it's frustrating, especially for people that, you know, we want to show a whole match.
Yeah.
We want to replay it in all its glory. But I think you're right. They really want to capture the best of that they have to offer.
Yeah.
And it's restrictive. But, you know, there's a lot of people who will enter and watch these and absolutely love it because they don't have to fuss with, you know, getting the camera right.
Yeah. The rest of the stuff, like, in there, you know, for as limited as it is, the replay, you know, you can select which character to focus on. You can pick several characters to, you know, focus on. What are the options? It's like, show cool boosts, show cool items, show everything, like, you know, whatever, whatever you want to do. Yeah, exactly. And then after that, you know, it's actually, I think it's cool to see their take on, you know, the Nintendo's slow movement towards, you know, streaming.
Yeah.
Because it records your last, like, I don't know, somewhere between 6 and 12 matches, so you can go back and use the tool. It also lets you favorite matches, so if you're playing online, you can favorite it to then do stuff later on.
And we watched a couple, and they were pretty exciting, like hilarious moments.
There's some cool community stuff. Like, you can scroll through and see, like, what highlights are currently popular,
right?
Or what highlights are most recent. So if you just want to see what people are doing, the coolest thing for me anyway was, you know, I instantly tied our YouTube account to it, and started testing that out. And, you know, that's, again, where Nintendo has not fully... There was just a thing last week where, like, Reggie said something like, watching people play Twitch is boring or something.
Oh, God, and what a dumbass.
And it's like... so Nintendo has this weird thing where it's like, they're always... Like, they want to... Whenever they do something, they try to do it as well as possible.
Yeah.
But they are almost always late to the party. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we would want to upload entire matches.
Yeah.
They're only, like, a few minutes each. Like, a Mario Kart match is over in 5 minutes. Like... But it caps you at 60 seconds.
Right.
And so it's just strange limitations, strange kind of half steps towards fully embracing. But then again, you can upload straight to YouTube, not Justin TV or Ustream or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's weird. Like, the, you know, their mindset towards that whole thing.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's very easy to do. Like, it's
really
easy for someone, you know, a 12-year-old, right? And that, I think, you know, more and more kids are on YouTube as one of their primary social, you know, socialization strategies or whatever, right? It's how they spend a lot of their time.
These kids and their YouTube.
Kids and their YouTube. So I could see, you know, people of the younger audience, and I should say, I think that's one of the more interesting aspects of Mario Kart and Mario games in general, is that, you know, when we're playing online, we're playing with some people that are probably 40s, 50s, and we're also playing with some people who are 8 to 12.
Yeah.
You know, and
they're probably killing us.
Yeah, they're probably both really good and kicking our ass.
Yeah.
And, you know, the younger audience, I think, could really get into uploading some of their shorter videos online without having to fuss with editing it or, you know, making sure all of them are the right length or interesting enough to warrant multiple views.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, like, when you really get into the online section, the customization is really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you can customize the level of items, like the types of items, like, oh, shells only, or just maybe no items.
Yeah. Which we tried to do, yeah, by the way.
We did.
No one was playing.
Yeah.
Cowards. I'm calling out all of y'all Mario Kart players.
You're afraid of our raw skills. You have to hide. You have to hide behind your bullets.
Bring the drift. Nothing else, man.
But that's, see, that strikes me as super interesting because I now want to just do a test where I randomly go on and try to find no item matches because maybe the collective consciousness is just like, oh, Mario Kart without items is not Mario Kart.
Yeah, it's not about that.
Yeah, which is fascinating because the competitive version of Smash is no items.
Yeah.
It's like only for funds matches or for matches or, you know, have items in them, which it's, I would imagine there would be a contingent of really hardcore people from like Sweden or something that would like, you know, that would all be just, you know, owning on no items.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think that's interesting. And, you know, even the fact that you can arrange what items you have, my guess is that you'd probably see still significantly fewer matches or longer wait times for those types of matches as well. Because, you know, people do recognize that Mario Kart is so fundamentally about those items.
Yeah.
And also, I think that also speaks to the feeling that maybe this game, it is actually more fair than it has been in the past. Yeah, where people are okay with having all of the items on because they feel like if they really put in the work and are great, then they'll get first every time anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you say you're not very good, but you were consistently first or second or third in even the online matches.
I mean, I feel like in the online matches, I can consistently get anywhere from 3 to 7.
Right.
And every once in a while higher and every once in a while much lower.
Yeah.
But that's just because I've just played so many Mario Karts.
Sure, but the point being is you're bringing a level of skill that you can't, you know, there's only so much undermining of your latent skill that items can bring to the table. Like, you know, I was consistently between like 5 and 9. Yeah. So it's like, you know where I stand and I know where I make mistakes and I know where I can improve and I know when I'm having a great run and when I'm not.
Right.
And there are those moments like, you know, one of the matches you uploaded to our YouTube channel, I was first for maybe a good 4/5 of the game and the last one I got in 6th.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, but I got in 6th because I messed up. Mm-hmm. And I messed up consistently 4 times in a row and could not get back with how much time I had.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what rubber band items I have.
Right.
That was on me and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't lose any of the sense of like fun and jovialness.
Let's talk about some
spoilers.
Some hardcore mechanics. Yeah, let's talk about some spoilers. Guess what? There's some unlockable characters. Metal Peach.
Baby Rosalina.
Yeah. So, I feel like...
How weird is it, by the way, when you crash your adult character into a baby version?
Yeah, Time Vortex.
There's some really meta stuff there.
I think maybe this is just me being, like, you know, a filthy casual or whatever, but I almost feel like I'm a bit overwhelmed by the amount of cart customization.
Yeah, it is overwhelming. Well, it's also difficult to know how much it really matters.
Right, that's also true. You have, again, you have the lack of transparency. And like, so you have different character models, which handle differently.
Yeah, small, medium, large.
Yeah, you have different, and I think it's small, medium, large, baby. Like, I think there's like now 4. Like, because Toad is not the same as Baby Rosalina.
Interesting.
So it's like, you have at least 3 to 4, you know, models. Then you have a bunch of different carts, all with different speed, handling, traction. You also have bikes, which handle significantly differently.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have wheels, which modify all of the stats. And then you have your hang glider, which barely modifies anything but is still another choice to stress out about.
I mean, what's funny is it's almost more important what you pick your glider as.
Yes.
Because it obstructs your view.
Yeah, that's true. And it looks cool when you have that flying squirrel one.
Yeah, that one was great. Or the Bowser
the cool
kite,
one.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it is overwhelming. But I think this is true for at least how I play.
You had a good theory on this.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
Hopefully it's the same consistent theory. My theory, I don't know, maybe you're thinking of a different theory I was talking about.
No.
I do tend to think of them like, you know.
You tend to be a theory factory.
I'm a theory crafter. Yeah. One was that it doesn't really matter all that much.
Yes.
But two, I think that so much of this game, and I think this is true for past Mario Karts as well, but it's somewhat superstitious. Like, it doesn't really matter what you pick, but once you feel like you've found your thing, just don't change. And then you'll get familiar with all of the different ways that it handles.
Yeah.
And the advantage that you get from playing the same kart you know, dozens of times will always be better than the advantage you get with a cart that is slightly higher top speed.
Right, right. So if we were to keep on translating this into fighting game terms, whatever your main is, yeah, is better than your than the mathematically optimal combo person.
Yeah, that's my theory, I think. And I agree. Think towards that last couple of matches, you know, I was doing a lot of experimentation. Yeah. I felt good about that ship pretty much. And then the last bike I had, I feel really good about it. And I feel like that's probably my go-to. And if I can remember what the fucking combination was, I'll just run with that every time.
Yeah, it's there's always that balance. I feel like there's more choices in this one than any others.
Slightly too many.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know if I come... The reason why I don't play racing games is largely because I'm scared of all of the choices and I feel dumb that I don't know the difference between all the cars and stuff.
I mean, the only choice that matters in car games is the color of your car.
Everyone knows that yellow car's faster.
Murder black.
Yeah, I mean, it's... To see them walk that line and... Really, they're, like, one of the only kart racing games left.
Yeah.
Like, for a while...
Well, there's, like, PlayStation Kart Racers or something?
They had that game that was, like, Little Big Planet, but for kart racing.
Hmm.
And I am forgetting what it's called right now. But that was, like, the last major one that I could think of.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's no more Diddy Kong Racing or Crash Racing or whatever Ratchet and Clank Racing happened. Like, I mean, it's... It's like the market is Mario Kart and then Forza. You know, like, I mean, like, you can go one direction or you can wait for the next Gran Turismo.
Well, in the Japanese version, there's a Mercedes kart in Mario Kart. So we're
that's weird.
Know, we're getting parody.
Yeah. So what would I mean? Are they going to bring all that stuff to the States? Like,
I don't know. I doubt it.
My can guess I get is a Tesla kart?
That would be that'd be kind of cool.
Mario in a roadster.
The battery dies halfway through.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. you know, your giant bomb theory, but your favorite Mario Kart is the first one you play.
Yeah.
I think that, honestly, I mean, I've only played it for a couple hours, but I could easily see this being my favorite Mario Kart.
Yeah, I could see that too. I did like the Wii one a lot, but the track design and I feel like the coins and the little skill touches are just, I don't know, I think there's something here. And also, they've finally gotten the social stuff right.
Yep.
Like, the online works very well, the options for the online. We jumped into the tournaments and were, like, almost confused as to how they worked. Like, you could set up schedules so that your tournament runs on certain times and certain days of the week. Like,
which is cool. Like, if you wanted to set up a tournament with all of your friends without having to necessarily, you know, send them a Facebook invite or something.
Exactly.
You just do it all in your social network.
Which is the Miiverse.
Your Miiverse.
My social network of choice.
I mean, the fact that you can play as a Mii too, I don't like it in Smash, but I think it works really well here. I think it's cool.
Yeah. And again, it's like, I think one of my first Mii posts was about Mario Kart, because they prompt you. Like, they
your
all,
Miiverse.
Like, yeah, they always do. It's like, oh, do you want to post something? Do you want to put a sticker? And it was just like, there will always be a Mario. There will always be a kart. Like, they're just going to keep making these games, right?
Yeah.
And so... It's really just about how long they can stay entertaining before the next one comes out.
Yeah.
And I feel like this one has some legs, really. Like, if the online stays strong and, you know, the carts stay as balanced as they are. Because when we go online, we actually see a pretty wide variety.
Yeah.
Which, again, kind of adds some credence to your theory that it really doesn't matter. It's just whatever you're good at.
Right.
I mean, this could be, I don't know, I think this could be, like, one of the... best Mario Karts, if not the best.
And I think as more people have the Wii U or sort of bring it to like the couch playable setting, I think this is the type of thing that, you know, I'll throw down with some friends every month or so.
Right.
Like, sure. Even like 3 years from now, I could see myself going, oh, let's play some Mario Kart.
Right. And the fact that if your friends move away, that Nintendo has a functioning online system, you can actually send invites and play with them now, which is good.
And schedule tournaments.
Yeah, get those...
I mean,
Luigi
to be fair, like that, you know, we talked about how difficult it is sometimes to get groups together for Titanfall.
Yeah.
We all play. I have a ton of friends who play. I've never played with any of them.
Yeah. Same here.
But I mean, you know, there's not a schedule system where I could sort of send you an invite and, hey, Tuesday from 3 to 6, I'm going to be playing.
It's...
I mean, other than like...
Yeah.
All online calendars.
Right, right. Yeah. But I mean, it's absurd that we're saying, hey, Respawn, you know... the people that created Modern Warfare, you should really learn from Nintendo in order to like set up your online ecosystem. You know, it's like, it's very, people are definitely trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, no one has decided just to copy Bungie and, like, do whatever they did with Halo, like, yeah, in terms of the social stuff. But, like, Nintendo is finally... It makes me more hopeful for Smash seeing Mario Kart.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, absolutely. They seem to have figured out this online thing, so it won't die after 6 months like it did with the Wii Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. All right, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
We like that Mario Kart.
It's a surprisingly long podcast for a game with no story whatsoever.
Oh, well, we didn't get to the secret, you know.
Yeah, the secret.
Bowser's, you know, long odyssey to,
the
like...
The narrative revenge. Yeah.
To reclaim it. He's like, what's that movie where the... It was based on a true story where the F1 guy gets badly burned and then comes back to...
Oh, yeah. I never watched that one. I heard it was good.
Thor was in it.
Thor.
That's Bowser. He's coming back after Mario has, like, savagely thrown him into the lava.
You haven't unlocked Bowser yet, have you?
I think so. I just think we never use him, because who uses Bowser?
When there's a heavy card.
When there's Waluigi to be used, who uses Bowser? Get out of here. All right. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address if you want to find us.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our home away from home. Come pay us a visit, everybody. Do us a favor. Leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. It really helps us out if you want to listen to us there.
Yeah. Check our YouTube channel, youtube.com/exp.net, and you can see all of our mad blue shell skills.
Just... Rosalina all the way.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Until next week. Talk to you later.
Ciao.
I'm sure that guy's agent put in stipulations in the contract that this only be used for this game. I bet you.
No, I must be there for all Wahoos.
I guarantee you that the contract for that is these sound effects are applicable to this game and this game only.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. He was at E3 a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He was like in a box, though, so he would
comment. I need money.
Help me.
They took me.
They have my passport.
They have my wife.